Jason mentioned concerns over the fate of tens of thousands of young migrants that came from Central America. Many are now awaiting immigration hearings. And while U.S. authorities decide whether they stay or go back to the countries they fled, school-age kids are entitled to continue their education. It is federal law, but it's being enforced unevenly across the country. Garance Burke is the national investigative reporter for the Associated Press. She covered this story with her colleague Adrian Sands. Now, you found that some migrant children, Garance, are welcomed into schools, others are not. Where are the success stories, first of all, and how is the system supposed to work?
We found many success stories in districts across the country where school districts have done extraordinary things to welcome migrant youth into existing ESL programs or have hired new staff, sought foundation funding to create new programs to help these youth integrate into the U.S. school system. One example is here in San Francisco, where I'm based, where there's newcomer high school where migrant youth can receive on-campus counseling, legal support, and other services to help them stay in school as they're awaiting their immigration court hearing.
Right, so a variety of things. Education continues, educational assessment, there's counseling, ESL classes. Now, you write about a young man in Memphis who grew up in Guatemala. Tell us about Candelario Jimon Alonso.
So Candelario Jimon Alonso is one of the migrants who was sent to Memphis. He came from the highlands of Guatemala. He speaks an indigenous language as his first language, the language Quiché, and learned Spanish while he was growing up too, but had no familiarity with English and had really hoped to learn English and math when he arrived here, escaping a difficult situation in Guatemala. Instead, his school district routed him outside the mainstream high school to an adult school where he would have been able to take English for a few hours every week. Only then the state of Tennessee shut down that ESL program, leaving Candelario and at least a dozen other minors with essentially no school option.
How common a story is that?
We found many examples of similar situations where migrant youth were routed to adult schools, which attorneys and advocates argue is basically, you know, a separate but unequal program, if you will, essentially an academic dead end that in some cases may break federal law.
I mean, it would seem that access to English as a second language class is a kind of crucial first step for these kids. Is lack of English often where the system starts to fail these kids?
Sometimes school districts who lack experience with English language learners also don't understand how to enroll children who don't have the paperwork that districts typically ask for when parents show up to enroll their kids, which would be, you know, utility bills, birth certificates, government-issued identification. But unaccompanied minors from Central America, of course, have migrated here by themselves. They are, you know, kids or teens, and so they may not have that paperwork, and they may not also have a sponsor who is their legal guardian. So some of the troubles can begin even before enrolling.
How many kids are being affected by this and not getting access to education? Did you come away from your investigation with a big number?
So the AP analyzed some of the federal data about where children have been placed across the country to try to pinpoint areas where the number of migrant children was relatively large when compared to public school enrollment, to try to get a sense of where the trouble spots might be. And we found that in at least 35 districts in 14 states, minors have been discouraged from enrolling in schools or pressured into what advocates against are these unequal alternative programs.
AP National Investigative Reporter Garance Burke telling us about why migrant children have been kept from enrolling in school. Thanks very much, Garance.
Thanks so much for having me, Marco.